Lynch
on Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times. Red FM, Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting matters from around the Rebel County and further afield. We're still licking the wounds down here after last weekend, but what a year the Cork Hurlers gave us, taking us to a league and Munster title win. But it did feel like the wheels came off the wagon in just 35 minutes of hurling in Croker. And it certainly did feel like the wheels came off the wagon for Cork City in Turner's Cross last night as they lost to relegation contender Sligo Rovers 3-2 in a game that surely seals City's fate to the graveyard of the First Division next season. I really, really can't do another year in that division. But anyway, hopefully things can get better for us on the City front if we go on some miraculous game-winning streak. But looking unlikely. But hopefully things can get better in the Camogie side of things as well, as Waterford lead Cork by just a point though at half time in the All-Ireland Camogie semi-finals. Killian Whelan reports for us in Nolan Park.
Waterford won 7, Cork 9 points in a repeat of the 2023 final. Waterford were anxious to ensure that they wouldn't suffer a similar experience against the 3 in a row chasing Cork. The champions got off to a better start, leading by 2-1, but it quickly turned into the Bet Carton show. From the 8th to the 20th minute, she scored 1-3 from play to put the Dacia 1-5 to 5 points in front. The goal, an excellent move with Niamh Rocket and Mairead O'Brien setting up the De La Salle player to find the back of Amy Lee's net. Cork responded though, as expected, with their standout player this year, Saoirse McCarthy, leading the charge with 3 of the next 4 points as the Rebels drew level in injury time. However, the Dacia gave themselves a shot in the arm just on the half-time whistle when Abby Flynn worked extremely hard to stop between the posts from over her shoulder. Halftime here at UPMC Nolan Park in our second semi-final. It's Waterford 1-7, Cork 9 points.
Yeah, hopefully they can turn things around there and get the job done and into an All-Ireland final, but hopefully we don't lose this one. Well, I was talking about Cork City's probable incoming relegation in the intro. It's time to hear now from the man in charge of the football team, that is Ger Nash.
Ger Nash, I can't even begin to imagine how you're feeling and how your team is feeling in there tonight. I thought, you know, for the large part of the game, you could see that the team were fighting for the badge there tonight, and it was an amazing performance in the first half, and really right up until the 68th minute when Sligo Rovers got that first goal. Is that kind of how you'd feel about the performance yourself?
Yeah, a lot of really pleasing aspects, a lot of really good aspects. We could have had a lot more goals. We had key moments with really big chances. Alex Nolan nearly wins it for us right at the death, and they come down and score the other end. So it's like a microcosm of what's been happening. So you look, the dressing room is devastated, the players are devastated, the staff are devastated. We know how big a game it was. We're gutted, the players gave everything. They fought for the badge, as you said. But ultimately, the game's not gone our way, and you know, we need to really look at the key moments of why, because that's ultimately what's put us in the situation that we're in.
You seem to, was it kind of fair to say, maybe you play with that back four tonight with the three midfielders kind of sitting in front of them. It was very hard for Sligo Rovers even to get into that final third of the pitch, so you must have felt that the game plan was going really well. And also, we saw a lot more direct football from Cork City tonight. Was there a bit of a tweak there?
Look, I think the way we, you know, when you score the first goal in the game, it sort of allows you to have a little bit of flexibility in how you do that, and we created a lot of chances down on the counter. We got the second goal as well. We were probably fully deserving for that. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Look, we've obviously brought players to the football club. We've got a lot of new players within the team. We're trying to do this with a third of the season to go. It's really difficult. You know, we're playing players together, new partnerships. Part of that, what we've got with Conor Brand is another option to go more direct. There was some of that was an aspect of the game we wanted to do, and we've created chances from it. But look, I can talk about the game. The fans are leaving here tonight with a defeat, and that's all that they will care about. And look, we're just disgusted, yeah.
Yeah, Conor Brand was brilliant tonight. He made some incredible saves. He, like, for a man making just his second league appearance, I think it is this season, like, he dominated his area as well for corner kicks. And in fact, it wasn't until Sligo Rovers started hitting the outswing at corner kicks that maybe that's when you started to struggle there.
Yeah, and that's, look, the second goal is a key one, and Rory Feely is you know, he's probably a hair away from heading the clear. It's fractions. It's a really good finish from their player. Look, Conor Brands, he's a kid. He's played his second game, like you said. We've got a lot of kids in that team. Matty Kiernan, Scott Sullivan obviously came off. Fitzy, we've got a lot of Cork kids in that team. Conor Brands from Galway, but he's a young player. I believe in young players. I believe that's the future of Irish football, playing them. So Connor's one of them that I think can have a good career, and some tough moments tonight for him, but overall he did well.
Look, you've only been here for a few weeks, so you know we're going back maybe even a season and a half here, but it seemed like some of the players ran out of steam. Like, Crowley put himself all over the pitch tonight. He was popping up everywhere and just seemed to run out of steam a little bit. Maybe a couple of other players. Is there, like, would you like to see the S&C sort of thing stepping up here with this squad?
I think that, we need to be, really, really physically strong. We need to be able to play for 95, 96 minutes. How we train is important in that. It's an area where we need to grow and we need to make improvements. Obviously, this club has had a huge amount of injuries this season. It's had a lot of change. It's had a surplus of staff before we came to the club, definitely. And we need to get the players to be fitter and stronger so they can see out games and play for 95, 96 minutes. We need to be really good in that area.
And again, you're only in the door, so you're still trying to build your squad. Would you like to get another couple of players in before this window closes?
We've been working really hard behind the scenes. We were hoping to get a couple of League of Ireland players who know the league, who've been in the league. We were close to that. It didn't happen. We're in a situation now where I want people, the right sort of people. I want Irish players. I want players who care about this club, who want to be here. I've said that consistently. I want to be here for a long time. I inherited a situation where a lot of players left, want to leave. I need people who are committed to Cork City fans. I need people who are committed. And that's really important. So the people that I bring to the club, that's the most important thing. So if I can find the right people, we'll bring them to the club. But equally, I won't. If I can't find those people, I won't block the young Irish players, the young kids of Cork, because I feel really strong about that.
Yeah, and would you talk about players being committed? Are you concerned you're not getting that from the full squad at the moment? Like, listen, people saw what happened last week against Leicester Celtic, the argument over the penalty. Like, is morale good in the dressing room?
Yeah, the group couldn't have worked harder tonight. Okay, I said it yesterday in the press. I've got a group who I looked in the eye yesterday. I knew they wouldn't let me down in terms of effort. Okay, this club, we've had a lot of signings which are window to window. We've had a lot of players who, it's a stepping stone for them to go somewhere else. That's the reality. They don't want to be here for a long time. When they leave the club, they'll probably never return to Cork. Okay, never return to the city. And how I want to build a club is with people who want to be here for a long term, want to make this club successful. That's what this club needs. The club has yo-yoed, it's gone up and down. We need people who want to be here, and we need to build and be strong enough to sustain success in the Premier Division. It's been going on for too long. That's what I want to do. That's why I've come to the club. That's why David Moyler and Ulster joined me and left clubs to come and do it. So we've got a really clear plan of how we want to do it. We haven't got the results we needed to in the games we've had so far. We won't give up. We'll keep fighting, but we've got a really clear plan of how we will do it. And I'll tell you now, the Cork kids and Irish kids and players, they will be paramount for this. And I won't have people who don't want to be here, and they won't be don't want playing for me.
Is the 11-point gap unsurmountable now at this stage?
The 11-point gap is huge. I think, look, you saw tonight the game was in the melting pot. It's the finest of margins. I think I could definitely say I could be sitting here and it's 5 points. All right, but I'm not, and that's the key thing. Okay, so this club has won 2 in 25 games. If I've got me maths right, okay, there's a reason for that. Okay, we need to change it. We're running out of games. We'll keep going, we'll keep fighting. The players in that dressing room are devastating, they are fighting. And I've got a good group in there now who want to play for this club and commit to this club. And we can do it, but it's going to be tough.
Okay, and just finally, Gerard, and I said, listen, if the worst came to the worst, and obviously you don't want this to happen, but if the club was to be relegated, like, are you committed? Do you want to stay and turn things around, even if it is a matter of taking the team from the first division next year back up?
I came here for a certain reason. I want to do something. I want to do something for the club to make it successful and to be successful in the Premier Division. We need to build that. This isn't going to be something that's going to happen in a couple of weeks. We need to build it. We need to have a clear plan and a strategy for how we do it. We need staff to do it, and we need players to do it, and we need the whole club involved in it. We need unity with the fans. And I understand all the anger from the fans. I really do, because I've come to the club and we've not won enough games of football. But I can only promise them how we work, how we're working behind the scenes, the effort we're putting in, how we're living, which is with total commitment to this football club. And that's the only way we'll get back to where it needs to be. Do I want to do that? Yeah, absolutely. That's why I've come here. But I'm also really strong on how we'll do it. And if that doesn't match, then that's fine, because I'm really clear on how we'll do it. I'm very experienced in how I think it can be done. I've seen it, and I'm really clear on how I want to do it, and that's with Irish players, with the kids of Cork, and some good signings around them, experienced players. Like, we've got some of them in the dressing room, and we can do it, but it's going to take time.
Sure, thanks for your time, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, here's hoping for a miracle. The last time Cork City won in the league was all the way back on the 21st of April. And 2005 rather, seems a long way off for Cork sport. The Hurlers winning the All-Ireland, but Cork City won the League of Ireland Premier Division for the first time in 12 years. And there's a very special night upcoming in Collins on Douglas Street on the 2nd of August to commemorate the league title victory. And Cork Sport having to celebrate past glories once more. But anyway, it should be a great night. And to help promote it, our very own Roy O'Hagan, who'll be hosting the event, caught up with John O'Flynn, who'll be speaking on the night.
All right, a big night happening in Collins next week. The 20th anniversary of Cork City's 2005 league title win with the squad in Collins Bar. It's going to be an absolutely cracking night. Yours truly is the host. Delighted to be joined by one of the stars of that amazing 2005 team. And we will be appearing on stage in Collins with me next Saturday night, Mr. John O'Flynn. John, how are you, sir?
Fantastic, Rory. A bit mixed feelings after, you know, the result last night, but looking forward to catching up with the lads, catching up with yourself, and having a good night next week.
Yeah, it should be an absolutely cracker. Actually, let's get that out of the way. Like, last night's result for City was it's pretty much condemned them to the first division, which is massively upsetting. It was the best performance they've put in all season. They still come up with nothing. It's just football, I guess, but it's upsetting watching it as a Cork City fan.
Yeah, big time. Especially, you know, coming into next week for us, we were hoping for, you know, something a bit upbeat, a few good results, and you know, something to celebrate. But it wasn't to be, and as you said, that's football. It's been kind of tail of the tape, good first halves, poor second halves, and yeah. Just being 2-0 up and losing 3-2 at home, it's a tough one to take.
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. But fingers crossed, look, get a result against Galway next week. You never know what might happen. But look, let's talk about, I suppose, happier times, I guess, in that 2005 league win. It's kind of hard to think it's been 20 years, John, because that makes us feel very, very old, first off. It doesn't feel like 20 years, does it?
It doesn't, no. But, you know, that's the thing, especially when I'm talking to lads about careers and, you know, enjoying football and all that, it goes by so quick. You know, you have to enjoy it. And that was one of the most enjoyable times of my career, definitely. And I know it was probably a lot of the lads as well.
Yeah, it was certainly a high point for me. I'm looking forward to catching up with everyone next week. I haven't seen a lot of lads in a while. But you just go back, I suppose, to like that team that I suppose that Pat Dolan and then Damien Richardson had put together. It was one of the most exciting teams I've ever seen in the League of Ireland. Probably my favourite League of Ireland team that I've seen play. And it was just a very well-balanced team from 1 to 11.
It was. You could probably say 1 to 20.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the strength and depth was that, you know, it's someone wasn't honest, there was someone there to take your place or to come in and do just as good as jobs, and that's kind of what it was like in training. We always say those kind of three seasons training was nearly harder than the matches for us, because, you know, the intensity and the class of player and all that. So yeah, definitely fantastic times and fantastic players and lads who went on to have great careers afterwards. So a testament to the players and the coaching staff at that time.
A great spine then of, I suppose, young Cork lads who were eager, like yourself, Georgie, Roy, Carney, Gamble. You could go on and on.
Yeah, it was probably a case where the club was lucky in one sense that things didn't work out for us in the UK, and we came back, and we all had a point to prove in a different way, and you know, we were kind of lucky in one sense that we were able to be given freedom to go out and express ourselves in front of the best fans in the country, and we all enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yeah, and Damien Richardson gave you that freedom. What was he like to work for?
Yeah, it was a funny one, because, you know, the transition from Pat Dolan to Damien Richardson, but in hindsight, it was probably the best, because Damien came in, you know, he was no fool. He saw the quality and the talent that we had in the squad, and, you know, there was no point in trying to fix something that wasn't really broke. You know, we finished second the season before that. So it was just a case of, you know, can kind of make a few changes here and there, but just basically go out and let the lads show how good they were. So he kind of gave us the freedom to go out and play.
What was your reaction to Dolan's departure? I mean, like, I remember being gobsmacked when I heard the news.
Yeah, it's some of us took it very hard, to be fair. Like, some of us were very close to them. So it was a jolt before the start of the season, but it came in a time as well where we couldn't dwell on it too much, even though it was a massive shock. We just had to get on with it. And, you know, we always say that, you know, going into that pre-season and prior to Damien coming in, we all knew in our heads, and we had a goal that season to win the league. And, you know, that's what transpired. Pat Dolan had a part to play in that, you know, going to Waterford, and they got a result against Derry, which, you know, evidently helped us in the overall scheme of things. But, you know, it's funny how football goes. But, yeah, I think regardless of who came in, we had a focus to win the league that year.
Yeah, loads of highlights from that season, European football being one of them. One of my favourite moments was, I suppose, going up to Talca Park and beating Shelburne. Roy Donovan telling Owen Heary what he thought of him, and just the huge boost that gave you, I guess.
Yeah, there was some very special moments in that season. I think Neil Horgan score a goal against Shelburne that season, yeah, as well, and he let out a yelp that, you know, it was like a young yak. But we still laugh about that. It was like the weird. He didn't even score in training, not a mind in a match. So I think it was just an outburst of emotion, but it came out so weirdly. But no, fantastic moments. I'm trying to think back. Did we play Drogheda, and did I close Dan, their keeper down, and it took a deflection and it kind of just rolled over the line. It went in like slow motion. So there was definitely moments during that season and big moments that we won a lot of games 1-0. We're keeping clean sheets, you know. The lads at the back were just as important as, you know, everyone else, and we had a good spine to the team. So yeah, it was probably the moment that sticks out, even though it's a funny one, is probably Neil Argus' goal and the yelp that came previous to that. So we might chat about that more next week.
Yak, I've got to hear what a yak sounds like. I've got to YouTube that. But it all comes down to that that Derry City game, that magical night in November, last night at a shed, that incredible 2-0 win over Derry City. You getting the opener, Roy Donovan putting in a peach perfect ball onto your head. It was just an incredible goal for you to score, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was, and I was actually struggling going into that game. I was back and forth to a rehab kind of physio guy in Dublin all that week, and he basically said to me going into the game, look, if you get a chance to smash a ball, he said, I probably wouldn't take it because you might pull your groin. So I was going into the game with that in the back of my head. So when Roy put the ball in and it was coming to my head, I was like, this is brilliant. you know, I don't have to use the leg. So no, it was fantastic to get off the mark and to kind of set things rolling. But yeah, we kind of talk about that game going out for the warm-up. It was like, you know, you could feel the atmosphere, the whole sense. It was like we were halfway through the game, even like an hour and 20 before it, you know. So the fans had a massive part to play in that night, and I think it was just meant to be.
Yeah, it certainly was. And look, even Neil Femendorf injured, you think to yourself, well, we could be in trouble here. Dennis Bean comes on and he turns to Dennis Bergkamp for 70 minutes.
Yeah, and Dennis had that in him, and that's what I said about the squad. It wasn't the 11, it was the 20. You know, if I wasn't doing it, or Roy wasn't doing it, or, you know, whoever, Dennis could come in, and Dennis had a massive impact. And that night, it really topped off and showed what a kind of classy player he was. And, you know, all the lads had a great attitude, where you could be on the bench for half the season, but they're showing how good they are when they come on. You know, the likes of Killian Lord, and you a lot of lads there who were, you know, not starters in the first 11 every single week, but when they came on, they, you know, they showed how good they were.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, celebrations that night were just incredible. Everyone on the pitch, all of you lads heading into the shed with the cup. It was just an amazing night.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, I think, you know, it's our home club. It's, you know, it was the last night of the shed. It was just, you know, you were looking around for your family and friends, and yeah, it was kind of a blur, but it was so fantastic. I still had people. I had a fella last week tell me that he got Georgie's jersey that night. He threw it into the shed. Another guy said, I threw my boots in and hit some fella on the head with one boot. Or, you know, it was just a bit of a crazy one, but oh, it was fantastic. Exactly. You know, and I always say that it was great, but it maybe killed our cup hopes then of doing a double that year, because the lads drank the City Dry for, say, two weeks leading up to the cup final.
Yeah, I know, but like, you have to celebrate that as well, because I mean, like, you hadn't won a league since 1993, so make it had to be done.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, third, two seasons beforehand, we really got a taste the season before, finishing second, where we weren't kind of in and about, and then you're finishing second, you're like, oh my god, we're so close. So you know, just the euphoria of actually getting there, we definitely celebrate that for sure.
And deservedly so. Mayor Flynn, looking forward to catching up with you next Saturday, looking forward to seeing all the lads as well. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Cork City fans in there as well. It's going to be a really, really good night in Collins, and yeah, talk to you then, bud.
Nice one, good to see some familiar faces next week, and we'll have a good crack for sure.
All right, that's all we have time for here on the first half of the Big Red Bench. Stay with us as we have a jam-packed 35 minutes or so of local and national Gaelic football action coming your way.
Big Red Bench. Cork, good times. Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour or so. At the latest from the Camogie, Cork 121 to Waterford's 111. So some turnaround from Cork being 1 point down at the halftime break. Sure must have given some halftime team talk as they're coming out absolutely firing. It's a Gaelic football now, and Nemo Rangers got the better of Ballincollig last night, beating them 116 to 114. And here's our very own Ger McCarthy, our man on the ground, speaking to Robbie Dwyer, the Nemo Rangers manager.
Okay, Robbie, victory was the most important thing coming out of here tonight, but the performance, second half performance, especially at the start of both the third and fourth quarters, you must be really happy with that.
Yeah, we started well. We went 6-3 points up, and then just they'd had a run on us, and we just couldn't get to grips with them, really. They were coming from deep, and they were causing us big trouble, and we just came in at halftime, and we sat down and we said, look, lads, you know, we have to, certain players, they were running at us, and we needed to push up, and we need to get more involved and up our intensity. And thankfully, I think the first 10 or 15 minutes, like, we really got on top of one breaks, drove forward, and got some great scores.
How crucial was the goal, especially when it arrived in the second half?
Yeah, because while we had drawn level, they went and got 3 points, in fairness to them. So, like, if we didn't get back into the game, then at that stage, you could have gone away from us. So, the goal came out, it needed it at the time. And the thing, I suppose, we pushed on from there then as well, and that helped us hugely. Like,
really free flowing game, plenty hits, but plenty, you know, nothing nasty in it at all. Really good game of football to watch. Is it much easier to manage now with the new rules? Laughing.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's a way better spectacle, in fairness, and the game is played the way it should be played, and both teams, like, they give it, they took it, like, there was no bad belts in it, they went out to play, there was great sportsmanship there, and it is a better game to watch and a better spectacle. And now at times it kind of gets a bit frustrating, you know, but other than that, though, it's been huge difference, like, to the game the way it is now. It's brilliant.
And for you and for Nemo, getting the win, getting the 2 points under the bank, you know, you're 2 games to go, but with that cushion now, it does give you that bit of confidence, I suppose, that you're not looking over your shoulder, not that you would be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously winning the first game takes a bit of pressure off, do you know what I mean, from that point of view. But look, we've a lot of fellas that are only coming back from injury, so this now 3-4 weeks will give us kind of a block now that we can work hard and get them back up to fitness, though. So it'll bring these fellas on hugely, and as you see, it takes the pressure off for the next round anyway, do you know what I mean. But obviously we want to push on and win all our games, you know.
Excellent stuff, well done.
Thanks, Mil.
Cheers.
Just quickly, the Camogie did finish, and it did finish on Cork 121 to Waterford's 111. So Cork will now face Galway in the All-Ireland final once more. So hopefully we'll get a big support up in Croke Park for that one. And hopefully the Rebelettes are bringing a trophy back down the road. Let's hear now from Micheál A. Martin, the Nemo Rangers goalkeeper.
Congratulations, Micheál. Some important saves and free, and a lot going on in that match tonight with the new rules, an enjoyable game, but the win was the most important thing for Nemo.
The win was absolutely massive, yeah. Like, I think for everyone, like, everyone knows this group stage structure, getting off to win in your first game is absolutely massive. I won't say it takes pressure off, because every game is very hard, but you're right up against it if you lose it. And we were the mountain to climb, really. Yeah. Come into the second half, 5 points down, all the momentum with Ballincollig, they were playing brilliant. And you know, it was great to show a bit of character down there. A lot of us have county medals, but probably 5 or 6 lads don't. And it was, they stepped up, I thought. Like, it was Brian Hayes stood up, and Colin Malloy stood up there at the back, so that's absolutely brilliant for them. They'll come on leaps and bounds from it.
And you got scoring bursts at the important times, the start of both final quarters, but your consistency all the way through as well was important, and you defended really well there in the end.
Yeah, exactly. I think we like maybe the first 3 or 4 minutes weren't calm at half time, but the rest of it was. We knew we couldn't afford to go out in the second half in the first 10 minutes and start taking stupid shots. It would have sucked the life out of us. So we were intent on, you know, point, if it takes 3 or 4 minutes. You know, there was a full half of football to play, and I think that was the most important thing. Like, that first 10-15 minutes of the second half, we probably showed a bit of experience and a bit of calmness when we really needed it and got it back level. If it's ding dong after that, then they're a good team, they came back at us. But closing that 5-point gap early was key, because it's not a nice place to be chasing a game. It's tight, you know, you can cup the turnovers in this pitch, there always is, and you know, when you're chasing a lead late in the game, you don't want to be there.
Okay, well, congrats and best luck for the rest of it.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. Thank you.
Well, we're going to hear now from Padraig O'Mahony, the Ballincollig manager.
Okay, Padraig, look, obviously disappointment, narrow 2-point loss, having played very, very well for the majority of that game. What's your immediate assessment after the final whistle?
Oh, sure, look, George, it's disappointing, really. You know, it would have been nice to get a draw out of it, really. I suppose I think overall we might have deserved a draw. Look, the third quarter cost us, really, you know, didn't get on top in midfield and lost a few breaking balls, and I think we conceded 1-3-1-4 in that 10-minute period, and yeah, after a really good first half. And I think, look, if we were a bit more clinical, we could have one or two goals, put more goals in the first half as well. Do you know what I mean? That was plain to be seen as well. So, look, we had an awful lot of young fellas starting there, like two or three fellas under 18 and 19 as well. So, you know, we'd be really disappointed. But, you know, I suppose happy enough with some of the performances.
I said to your selector, Paddy O'Shea, these new rules really suit you. I mean, the way you like to play football at a pace, coming and attacking teams in waves, is that something that you think is going to be a real positive heading into the rest of the championship?
Well, I think it's positive for football, full stop, really. Do you know what I mean? As you can see today, just some fast, it was a fast pace, good football, and I won't say it's a forward's dream, but it's nice, open, expansive football, like. Do you know? It's you know, it can be slow, it can be fast, but I think it's a bit more entertaining. Do you know what I mean? So when you're on the sideline, it was probably a decent spectacle for the neutral tonight, but yeah, overall going forward, it's a great change.
You mentioned the third quarter there, and they got on top, but just after half time they won four balls, got 4 points, like three from play and one from free. Did that just set you on the back foot a small, because he had such momentum coming in there at half time?
I think, yeah, we lost 3 or 4 breaks, or yeah, and they got 4 points in the shot. We bounced back, we got 3 points, I think, and we lost a killer one, and they got a bit of a, you know, one of our lads switched off and conceded the goal, and it kind of knocked the wind out of us again. But look, at least we were fighting at the death, you know, so it shows a good sign of a young team, really.
And just finally, momentum obviously is a big thing. Like, you've got 2 games left, you know what you have to do, but there's so many positives to take out of tonight that you'd be looking ahead to those with confidence.
Well, yeah, look, you'll always learn from losing, you know, it's where you can improve, and yeah, we were missing 2 or 3 players as well, so hopefully we'll have them back in the next in 3 or 4 weeks time. But it's very hard, you know, dual club, and we're having to press the reset button again. We won't see some of these guys again for 3 weeks, so it's, from that point of view, it's very difficult, like. But look, there's other clubs in the same situation as us, so
thanks very much. Thanks. Cheers, Patrick. Thanks.
Well, fair play to Killian Whelan. We've had a quick turnaround on the Camogie front as he gives us the full-time report from Nolan Park.
Cork 121, Waterford 111. Waterford certainly put it up to the 3-in-a-row chasers, but it's Cork who will play Galway in the Glen Dimplex All-Ireland Senior Camogie final on August the 10th. With Waterford ahead at half-time in the main, thanks to the dazzling 10 minutes from Beth Carton, that saw a shoot 1-3. The goal, an excellent move from Niamh Rocket and Maria O'Brien to set up the De La Salle player. Cork star Saoirse McCarthy began to exert her influence too, and it was just 1-7 to 9 points at the break. The opening minutes of the second half were bubbling along, with the scores coming thick and fast, but it was a treble of points from Katrina Mackey that set Cork underway. McCarthy, Emma Murphy, Saoirse McCarthy and Amy O'Connor also contributed, while Waterford's efforts started to dry up despite the best efforts of Carton and Rocket. Sub Orla Mullins' late burst of 1-2 put the icing on the Cork cake. Cork 121, Waterford 111. This is Killian Whelan from UPMC Nolan Park for a final that will see Cork take on Galway again.
From one final to another, that's Gaelic football now, and Kerry manager Jack O'Connor spoke to Jonathan Higgins ahead of their All-Ireland football final against Donegal next week.
Jack, you're back here again, the place you want to be, an All-Ireland final to look ahead to.
Yeah, delighted, yeah. You know, I suppose six weeks ago or so, you wouldn't give us much of a chance of getting here. But thankfully, our fortunes turned around after the meet game, and just delighted now with the last two performances in Croke Park. But well aware we need a massive one now on Sunday to get over the Donegal boys.
Highly, highly experienced. You've seen a lot of football, Jack, but have you seen a swing like that where it went from not quite despair but a dark place to a very bright place so quickly?
I have. I mean, there was other years there, going back as far as 06, we were really struggling that year to find a bit of form, beating Welland Munster by the Munster final replay by Cork. I think we're beating Wade at points. We managed to turn it around. I suppose no small part thanks to Kieran Donaghy. And the same in 09, we were struggling as well. But just got back to Croke Park, and that seemed to light a bit of a flame under the boys, and found a bit of form. So hopefully it's following along similar lines.
I mean, this is the highest compliment. It's a bit of an edge to the side the last couple of games, particularly their Armagh game as well. It served you well.
Yeah, but you kind of need a bit of an edge every day you go out, you know. These are ferociously competitive games. Both sides have put an awful lot into it, and there's nothing going to be easy. So I think the edge comes from the competitive nature of the preparation, and the fact that it means so much to the boys. So they'll step up again now in the final. So hopefully we can keep the trajectory going the right direction.
Yeah, nobody can accuse you guys of taking the easy route through. You've had a couple of big slogs in the last couple of games.
Yeah, we had for sure. I mean, we've had three Ulster teams now with Kevin, Armagh and Donegal, and Tyrone, and now a fourth one with Donegal. So it'll be tough going. But looking forward to it now. You know, we feel that we're training well, and there's great spirit in the camp, which is very, very important, you know. Particularly in times of adversity, that panel spirit is very important. So we think there's great spirit and unity in the camp, and hoping that that'll help us.
I got down nice and early today as well, but it's unique. There's a real big, almost tangible buzz around the whole place right here, right now. You're feeding off that.
Well, yeah, and hopefully the players feed off it. You know, it's great when you have a bit of synchronicity between the supporters and the players, and I got a real sense of that the last two trips to Croke Park now, where the supporters really got vocal and got behind the team, and that was particularly evident in the last few minutes of the Armagh game. So I hope they shout their heads off on Sunday, because we'll need all the help we can get.
I remember talking to a close friend of mine who's down in this neck of the woods after the Rearrange League game, and he was talking about, oh wow, this Donegal team, the running power. A lot has changed since then though, but it's still a huge challenge for you guys.
It is, of course. I mean, it is well known they're probably the fittest team in the country, and have, you know, trained very hard and very consistently. So we realise that there's a big challenge ahead, but we'll do our level best to give a big performance and see where that takes us.
I suppose a lot of comparison back to the 14 final. You're probably sick of people reference back, but it feels like a similar sort of situation, coming in, a clash of styles, having to make tweaks, having to do everything to get over the line.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't involved with the seniors in 14, ironically enough. I was involved with the minors that day.
That's right,
we managed to do the double over Donegal that year, and so we had a great weekend. But yeah, that was a great feat by Eamon Fitzmaurice and the boys, and Kieran O'Neill was involved that time as well, to get over the line against a really good Donegal team. So hoping now we can repeat the feat on Sunday.
People talk about your record in Ulster teams at Ireland finals. Do you read anything into that, or is just the way the games have kind of flown?
Sure, look, that's always going to be thrown at us. I suppose the team between 04 and 09 were beaten in, or 03 and 09 were beaten in three times by Tyrone, so I suppose that'll always kind of follow them around a little bit. But doesn't matter who you're beating in all Ireland finals, you know, it's the same value as far as I'm concerned. There's no asterisks after your name when any year you win it. So look, that's something that the kind of media latch onto more than management or players.
There was an interesting note I read in Jim McGuinness's book. Colm Keyes brought it up again in his article during the week. It was towards the end of that 14 final where I think Colin McFadden had an opportunity, ball flashed past, could have got in. Jim McGuinness is on the record saying that he really didn't want that go in because it wouldn't have been reflective of their performance. But what's your opinion on that? But surely, from Kerry perspective, surely it's just about getting over the line in the final. The performance, to me, is just an added bonus.
Sure, his tongue was firmly in his cheek when he said that, you know. You never really worry too much about even the quality of a game in an Ireland final. It's about winning it.
That's it. It's just ultimately, isn't it?
Ultimately, it's all that matters. You know, it's other people can comment on the quality of the game or whatever, or the quality of the performance. It's about getting over the line, whichever way you can, and we'll be happy on Sunday if we can get over the line, regardless of the type of game it is. You know.
Yeah, Celtic Cross in your back pocket. That's all the players want.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. That's the plan.
Just on the couple of injuries, and how are, you know, it's this time of year, isn't it? You're trying to patch people up, get forward. How's that situation looking?
I think we've turned the corner there in the last few weeks, injury wise. You know, most people are virtually the full panel of training. You know, we trained this morning, so that's great, because sure, no one wants to miss out on an Ireland final, and lads are really pushing hard now to get themselves right.
That was Kerry's Jack O'Connor there. Before that one, I did say the final was next week. It is, in fact, tomorrow, right? It's been a long week for me and the Cork public, I presume, as a whole, so you can forgive me for that one. But on the opposite side of the coin, we have Donegal manager Jim McGuinness speaking to Tommy Rooney ahead of the final tomorrow.
Jim McGuinness, All-Ireland final press night, a good place to be. You've got a busy night at home. I know you've got a birthday party to get to.
Yes, very important. But no, great. Tommy, listen, we're looking forward to it. Great opportunity for the players, you know, and one that they've carved themselves, and hopefully now we can take it.
Such a relentless season. It's so tight between games, so different to what it was like in 12 or 14. How much time have you had to get ready for Kerry this Sunday?
Well, not that much up to this point, but listen, it's tight and the schedules are tight, but you're just trying to make the best of it. You're trying to get as much information together as you can, try and make good decisions, come up with a plan, hope that the training goes well, hope that nobody picks up a niggle or a knock in training, because that's definitely something that you want to avoid in the lead into an All-Ireland final. But yeah, we're just working through the gears and trying to get everybody ready. I suppose the thing about this season and having played so many games is you're in a pattern, you know, and the pattern remains the same all the time. As soon as the game's over, you're moving on to the next thing. You're trying to build all the bits and pieces that are going to make it happen, and then move from there.
Football has changed so much, especially even this year, but in the last 12 years. Back in 2014, we've heard James O'Donoghue say a couple of times on the football pod, you nearly wanted to quit football in the build-up between the semi-final and the final, given the way that Kerry went about their approach to that game. In a way, it is tried to maybe ape the Donegal tactics to counter you. Can they do that in 2025? Do you think that there's a chance that that's going to happen? Or are you both going to play your own games?
Listen, I think both teams will probably play their own games, definitely. There's no need to do it anyway. You know, at the end of the day, both teams now are defending with 11 players. That's the reality. The pitch is the same dimensions, and the two teams are defending the same level of space. So it's really just about fine-tuning things. It's about sort of how you see the game and how you see the best way for you to attack and the best way for you to defend. Kickouts are huge. Breaking balls, huge. You know, opposition kickouts are becoming more and more important, and everybody's chasing the same metrics, and all you guys are talking about all those metrics every day of the week, and so everything that's involved in the game is very, very obvious to everybody now. It's just about trying to find bits and pieces that can add a bit of value to you, that maybe that can maybe take some level of challenge to the opposition. That's what you're looking to do, you know, so without changing too much from your own point of view as well, because you don't have the time, you know, you don't have the time to turn that around. If you're going to try and coach anything to a new level from scratch, it's going to take at least a month or 6 weeks. So really, I think at this stage of the game, Kerry are who they are, and they're going to be building those processes. I think it'll be the same for ourselves.
When you first, when you tuck in the interprovincial games in November in Croke Park, and I think you had your coaching team around you, has it transpired in the way you expected it might, the game, over the last 6-7 months?
Well, I suppose in some respects, yes, maybe, but nobody knew what the game was going to become. You know, that's the reality. It's a completely different game, and the game has been transformed, and it's so dynamic and fast and relentless and all these things. So they were all unknowns, if you like, back in November. So yeah, listen. It was important for us just to try and absorb as much as we could over the course of the National League without changing too much in terms of what we want to do ourselves, and then work with the rules as opposed to try and sort of dominate the rules, if that makes sense. You know, I think it was important not to go all in any of them, but to be open to them all, and that's what we've tried to do without losing our own identity, and I think a lot of teams have done the same.
Final one. It's just the fourth All-Ireland final in Donegal's history. yourself, your backroom team, some of the players like Ryan and Paddy and Michael, what can you impart on the rest of the group ahead of the final on Sunday week?
I think that's a very easy question. It's the best day of your life if you want it, and it's the worst day of your life if you lose it. It's hard. It's very, very painful. These fellas grew up playing football, and when you're a child like I was, sitting in the house and watching that All-Ireland final, and then as soon as it's over, you run out onto the green and you start becoming that player that has just scored the goal. You know, that those memories are stuck in your mind for a lifetime. So you don't want to be there and lose. You definitely don't want to be there and lose, but there's no guarantees in sport, there's no guarantees in life. So all you can do is your best, Tommy. That's all you can do is your best. And for me to try and impart to the fellas, bring your best level and bring your best level of performance. Don't play the occasion, you know, and just try and enjoy it without going over the top. And then you can make peace with the result then. I think the problems will seep in if you go down the road beat and you believe that there was 20 or 30% extra left in the tank, and we don't want to be there. So even if we get everything out of the boys, you know, Kerry can still come and win that game, but at least we know we'll be competitive, and that's where we want to be. We want to try and enjoy the occasion and the moment, but also bring ourselves to the game and try and be competitive.
Jim McGuinness, very best of luck to yourselves and Donegal.
Thanks, Tommy.
We're going to hear from the players now, and here's Kerry captain Gavin Weiss speaking to Jonathan Higgins.
Gavin, you're probably fulfilling every young boy and girl's dream now. You're captain your side in an All-Ireland final. Special time for you.
Yeah, look, I suppose any time you get to wear the green and gold is always a dream. To play in Croke Park is always a dream, wearing Kerry colours. And I suppose when looking into All-Ireland final, I suppose the added bonus of captain the side. Really looking forward to the task. I know there's an awful lot of leaders inside the squad. So I'm just going to try to represent my family and my club as best I can. But really looking forward to the day out.
I suppose you've had this experience before, maybe in a slightly different circumstance the last time around.
Yeah, in 2019, I suppose I was just kind of new to the squad, new to the whole game, I suppose. Certainly a very different experience that time. I suppose a lot of the players that would have played that day against the Dubs would have been their first All-Ireland final. So, look, we've played in a couple since, and the experience we're hoping is going to help us over the line this weekend. But we're under no illusions, the threat that Donegal will present us next weekend.
It's been quite a journey for you, and I suppose this newish Kerry side as well since then.
Yeah, look, I suppose at the start of the year when the new rules came in, like any other team in the country, it was a new challenge to every player in the GAA. I think it's fair to say that the new rules have changed the game completely for the good, which is great to see. I suppose our year has been up and down in many ways. Obviously, finishing the league as league champions was a huge bonus to us. Going to Championship then and losing to a fantastic Meath side was a disappointment, but thankfully we were able to get our season back on track with a win against Cavan here in Clarny, and we're able to just take every game as it comes after that.
I remember speaking to a couple of my Kerry friends in the build-up to that Armagh game, and you know, they were coming in as All-Ireland champions, absolutely flying it. They'd been the dominant side again. They looked like they were going to build on. We weren't sure what sort of Kerry side would react. What was it like in the camp during those periods? Did you always believe?
Yeah, look, I suppose every player in the country representing their county colours are going to believe in who they are and the potential that they have. We were well aware of the threats that Armagh brought, and look, we just went back to basics, I suppose, especially after losing to Meath and getting through the Cavan game. We were unsure where we stood, I suppose. But look, yeah, we went back to basics. Got good at what we were good at right throughout the year. Obviously, the Kerry supporters really got behind us that day and drove us over the line. In particular when things didn't really look good for us to start that second half, but we were able to drive on and thankfully get a result out of it.
Was there one moment that you could pinpoint that you thought that maybe the mood and the whole momentum changed?
There wasn't any major point in particular that I could pick out. Like, I think it was only after the game that someone said to me that I think it was a 14 points in a row, and I didn't realise that in game time. But it was just taking every play as it came. We talked about that in dressing room half time, just taking every play every 5 or 10 minutes at a time, and not focus too much on the scoreboard, just keep playing the way the Kerry football should be played.
Having, I was about to say the captain's armband, that's from a different sport, but being the captain of the side, does your build up change? Do you have more tasks that you have to do, or do you have a leadership group, or how does that work for you?
Not particularly, no. Look, I suppose an awful lot of leaders inside the squad, there's an experienced squad there, obviously just bits and pieces there every so often, but I take them as try as best as I can. And look, ultimately you want to play as best you can, if you're captain of the side, you want to lead as best you can, and the only way you can do that is by leading by example on the pitch. So look, that's what I've been focused on, like I've done for the last number of games and the last couple of seasons, and I don't think I'm going to change anything just because of that.
Do you enjoy the leadership aspect?
Yeah, look, I suppose I take on those now at this stage. Obviously it's a huge honour to be able to captain any Kerry side, especially going to an All-Ireland final. I suppose in a couple of years' time when I hang up my boots, I'll fully realise the magnitude of it. But at the moment, I'm just taking it every session as it comes, every game as it comes, and just, I suppose, at the moment, really looking forward to the big task next week against Donegal.
As neutral, it's a huge game to look forward to. What's it like to prepare for?
Yeah, look, I suppose in the media, and I suppose talking to support at the start of the year, they probably would have looked at this game as a possible matchup in the All-Ireland final. Yeah, fierce, exciting game, I suppose. If you look at Donegal this year, they've been absolutely phenomenal and everything. Had a really strong league campaign, and probably took the foot off the accelerator a small bit towards the end of the league. Got through a seriously tough Ulster campaign, and obviously been very impressive throughout the All-Ireland Championship. So look, we're excited. We're excited for the matchup. There's plenty of matchups that are going to be very, very exciting. Two different styles of football, I think. And look, I suppose just really looking forward to it. It's going to be a titanic battle, and I'm sure whoever comes out of the game on top is going to be very glad of it. I'm just hoping that it's going to be Kerry colours are going to be lifting Samogar.
I feel like flashbacks to the infamous Paddy O'Shea line, a grain of rice could tip that. It probably could tip this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I suppose the way the game has gone now, it's almost professional. Every small thing that players are going to do in the lead up to the All-Ireland final, they're going to do it, and right throughout the season they're going to do every small little bit pieces to kind of get their body right. But it could come down to something like that. It could come down to a mistake or a moment of genius or something. But look, as I said, we'd be happy enough if we came out of the game winning 2-1. It's all about winning. All-Ireland finals are all about winning, and we're just hoping that we can put in the performance, put in the Kerry performance that the supporters deserve, and hopefully that will get us over the line.
I'm not sure you do any mind techniques or positivity, you know, thoughts. Are you allowing yourself to dream to walk on those steps up the Hogan Stand?
Yeah, look, I suppose every young fella dreams of doing that, and I'm like no other, like any other player in the country, perhaps you're going to dream of that. But I suppose, look, it's you want to try to keep that out of your mind this week in particular, and just focus on the task at hand, focus on my job, focus on what I need to do and what Kerry need to do. And if it gets to that stage, I'll be greatly appreciative like any other player in the country, but there's an awful lot of work to be done before then.
And to finish out the show, we have Donegal's Ryan McHugh speaking to Tommy Rooney.
Ryan McHugh, how are you?
I'm very good, Tommy, yourself?
All-Ireland final press night. You've welcomed us into Convoy here in Donegal. You've got a fine setup. You've got the hills rolling around you. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a nice place for your base to be, is it?
It's beautiful, so it is. You know, on a nice sunny day here today as well. It's not always like this. We've been here in the muck and the rain, so it is. But no, to be fair, it's a great setup here in Donegal. We have... You've everything you want. You've your pitches, you've your floodlit pitches, you've your gym, you've your canteen and everything. So no, it's a huge credit to the people who got it sorted.
It's phenomenal. All-Ireland final press nights are usually a good sign. You know, you're getting ready for a big day. Mm-hmm. You're a long time waiting since the last one, 2014 to today. You were on the periphery, you were so close in 12, you were just too young, but yeah. You got to see with Mark.
Yeah.
Your father's had 92. But they don't come around too often in Donegal.
They don't, no. It's going to be our fourth final in our history, you know. So no, they definitely don't come around. Thankfully, I've seen three of them, being involved in two. Well, we'll be involved in the second, obviously, now, but seen three of them. So no, it's great as a player, you know. It's what you want to be and what you want to be doing is involved, not obviously involved in press nights, but involved in the All-Ireland final, so it is. So it's great, as I said, as a kid growing up. Firstly, I wanted to play for my club, Kilkear, and then I wanted to play for Donegal, and thankfully I've got both opportunities, both, and now I've got the opportunity to play in the biggest day of the year.
How have you kept that fire lit over the last 10, 11 years? Are you 31?
31, yeah.
Do you know, like, life happens, and congrats, you've a wee
thank
kid.
Thank you, wee boy, yeah, wee boy.
You've your own business, McBrew.
McBrew, I do.
Right, there's loads of other bits and pieces going around. Like, how have you kept the fire lit for football and for Donegal football?
Yeah, listen, there's their tough days, of course there is, you know. Time management is a huge factor, but I love football, so I do, you know, and I love playing for football, and I love representing my county. I love getting the chance to represent my county, so it's definitely no issue finding the love and passion. As I said, I grew up in a huge GA family, so I did, and I knew no difference growing up, so I didn't. From when I could walk, I was going to matches with Dad, and myself and Mark would be way out the door, first thing, you know, kicking ball over and back. So as I said, all I wanted to do was play firstly for my club, Kilkear, and then if I got an opportunity to play for Donegal, you know. So thankfully I've got the opportunity to do both. Loving it, Tommy, so I am, you know. Getting a wee bit older now, and I think you do understand and respect things a lot more, and take things in a lot more, so you do things will never last forever, so they won't, you know, and I know that. I'm, as I said, 31, so there's probably only another couple of years left of me, so enjoying every single minute of it. Getting the opportunity to play with the lads is phenomenal, you know. I've been fortunate enough to be involved in a lot of different squads, so I have, and the lads just keep getting better. The new lads coming in, giving so much energy and different things to the squad is unbelievable. And I suppose then, even with the new rules coming along now, you know, has given everything a new burst of life again.
How much has Ryan McHugh changed as a person and as a footballer since 2014?
Maybe as a person, you might want to ask my wife Bridget or someone like that, but I suppose as a player, you might want to ask somebody different, but from my own point of view, I would say I probably don't take my man on as much anymore as I did in 14. I was going at men a lot more, with the ball especially, but probably control the ball a wee bit more than in terms of, you know, running, not as much running. I don't know, it's a hard enough question to answer, so it is, but still enjoying the football.
Like physique wise,
I'm a wee bit different there. Hey, you know, looking back on pictures in 14, I'm not a big man now, but I definitely wasn't a big man in 2014, you know, so a lot of gym work put into over the years and different sort of work like that there, but that's all part of it, you know. Unfortunately, that's the way the game's gone. I do have arguments with this from my dad every day, well, not every day, but every couple of days at the house. He says there's no need for it, but that's the way the football's gone. You have to do your gym work now, you have to get out and do your runs and different sort of stuff like that, so yeah, I just embrace and enjoy it.
I know you had taken a year out for various reasons. When you were coming back,
yeah,
and you got a whiff that Jim McGuinness might be coming back as well,
yeah,
we heard Paddy McBurdy talking on Sunday about perhaps the wasted years between 14 and 2040. He felt,
yeah,
as a team that you just didn't get to where you wanted to get to. Donegal, mm-hmm, on paper is a phrase that we've used over the years.
Yeah.
We could see all the talent, but it wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
When you got an idea that Jim was coming back, what did you need to do as a group? Like that winter, I suppose, that kind of the bridge to be ready for 24 and now 25.
Yeah. In terms of as a group,
like
just,
his mentality.
Yeah, that, you took the words out of my mouth. It was just get yourself mentally prepared. There's no guarantees in life that you're going to win anything, you know, but I think when Jim's involved, there's a good guarantee that you're going to compete for Ulsters or for All Ireland or get to the All Ireland semi finals and the latter stage of the championship, you know. He brings such a huge professional outlook on things, you know. It's obviously great to have him back, you know, and then Michael, I suppose, coming back the following year has really put the cherry on the cake, you know. Two phenomenal people and two unbelievable ambassadors for our county have given so much to our county, you know, and we owe them everything.
You've been in unbelievable form this year, and you've done different jobs in different games, and you mentioned before you've played in so many different lines. You've so much experience built up across your career. I know you've said you've never watched the 2014 final back. Yeah. I watched the back for you last night.
Thanks.
There's no point watching. No point watching it back. Right.
Oh, thank you. I'll definitely not then.
As an experience, right? Yeah. What can you take from that final? I know. There's only a few years that have been in them, and it was so long ago. But what can you take from that day?
Listen, I suppose maybe the build-up, I think, at all, you know. Again, I was only very young at the time, so I was, but it's a bit different this time, which I'm actually happier about. You know, that time after Dublin we'd 4 weeks, so we did. This time you literally have 2 weeks, you know, and by the time you get recovered and you're down to a week and a half, so it is. So as we touched on earlier, Donegal as a county haven't been in a lot of finals, so when we are fortunate enough to get to one, the whole county goes stone mad, so they do, you know. And I think in 2014, from my own point of view, maybe it, not that I got caught up in it, but it was crazy. So I think from a personal point of view, just trying to stay away from everything a lot more, I should say, this time.
Ryan McHugh, very best of luck in the All-Ireland final.
Thanks so much. Cheers.
All right, that's all we have time for. But before we go, huge congratulations to the Cork Minor team for winning the LGFA All-Ireland. And hopefully the Camogie team will follow it up in 2 weeks' time. Dan Casey signing off. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.